Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And it's good to be on the air. And Paul, are you actually on the air? Oh, no, he's not there yet. No, oh my gosh. He was doing a weather forecast. He was giving us the weather. And then all of a sudden, boom, he's gone. But that's okay. David and Paul are actively working to get him back on the air. Jordana here, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time today. Exciting day. I know it makes no difference to you, dear listener, but I'm back in the studio. And this is fun. I'm back with David. We're 6 feet apart right now, huh?
Very exciting. It's a different energy coming to work when you've got coworkers in the building, even in the room. So
right.
I was very glad to see you in the building today.
Saw my boss, went into his office. He's like, I didn't know you were coming in today. I said, I appreciate the surprise factor. Got to see Adam Carter. Got to see Adam from Jack FM. Got to see Dan Cook. All the stars are shining today. So it was. It is great to be back in studio. And if you are watching at 3:35, I know you'll be listening, and I do appreciate that. But you can also be watching at 3:35 on our Facebook and our Twitter, the WCCO Facebook and Twitter, because you will see our interview with Ken Edelman. We try to live stream with video as many opportunities as we can with high-profile guests. And Ken Edelman is the former U.S. ambassador to the U.N. under Ronald Reagan. So he will be joining us at 3:35. And, of course, you'll be hearing it right here on the radio. But you'll also get to see us on the live stream. And you can see me and David back in studio. And hopefully Paul will be joining. You there, buddy? Is he talking? Yeah, there he is. Okay, there he is.
Am I there? Hello?
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 Can you hear me now? Are you there yet?
Good grief. I am using AOL to connect. That could be part of the problem.
Hey, don't judge my AOL. It has never failed me. Still have AOL.
Okay.
Do not judge. So welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here. And I'm amazed by what's going on. Troubled because I'm not sure Putin is a stable actor right now. There are a lot of people who say maybe he went off the deep end and he's not thinking rationally, logically. We don't know. But, Jor, a global plague could not unite us. Revulsion at Vladimir Putin, his pure evil, this invasion, this destruction of the act of law and the idea of sovereignty just might unite us in a way that we have not been united before, not just in the United States, but worldwide.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. And look,
So I'm just going to take this segment. Something I noticed over the weekend, and I believe what Paul is getting to, is this act of courage by Volodymyr Zelensky. We saw the world this weekend rally around Ukraine. And Paul's right. A global pandemic could not unite us. It divided us further, whether or not we should wear masks, whether or not we should get vaccinated. That was the worst of humanity we saw when we were tested and we epically failed. This time, with this wanting to save Ukraine and unite against with a sovereign nation, against an oppressor, against an instigator, against an occupier, has been life-affirming, has been heartwarming. We all know now that President Biden invited Volodymyr Zelensky to get out of the country, and he said no. He said, I don't need a ride. I need ammunition. That, my friends, is bravery, is courage, is faith, is what we want in a world leader. And Volodymyr Zelensky embodied that over the weekend when the world, not just Ukraine, when the world needed him to. And I am in such support, of course, of the Ukrainian people. But boy, did they elect the right leader. Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Yeah, you're right. And George Zelensky, it was interesting to me because Putin has this narrative going that he's liberating the people of Ukraine, right? He's a liberator, denazifying Ukraine. Putin's words.
Yeah, a lie, not a narrative. He's lying about that. But yes.
It's a lie, of course.
Of course.
But here's the deal. And I didn't realize this. A Jewish Ukrainian family had four brothers. Three of those brothers were murdered by the Nazis in the Holocaust. One survived. His grandson, the surviving brother, his grandson is President Volodymyr Zelensky. And look, they have a population of 44 million, former member of the Soviet Union. They don't want handouts. They don't want special favors. All they want is freedom and self-determination. They want to be a part of Europe, not Russia. Mm-hmm. And, Jor, their biggest export, it turns out, is heroes. It's amazing how everybody is stepping up. They are the most badass country mm-hmm. out there right now. And they're serving as an inspiration for the rest of us, you know, that have been enjoying the fruits of democracy for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. That's what they want. They want the same thing we have. And that's an existential threat to Putin.
That all of those things are true. I support Volodymyr Zelensky, the people of Ukraine, and I hope they turn back their oppressors and remain a free nation. I hope they join the EU. I then hope they join any organization globally that they need to join to keep themselves safe and contribute to democracy across the globe. Let's take a quick break. When we return, Lorraine Snyder-Hanley, she's 90 years old. She immigrated from Ukraine. She and her daughter wrote a best-selling book together called Miracles on My Doorstep. We will hear from them next. Welcome back. Maybe now everybody realizes they either know somebody from Ukraine, know somebody who's in Ukraine, knows a friend of a friend, goes to a business that is owned by Ukrainians. By now, we have all made some kind of connection because human nature, at least most of human nature, is wanting to help, is reaching out, wanting to hear your story. How can I help? How can I be of assistance? And if you maybe have not connected with anybody from Ukraine, you are about to. Lorraine Snyder-Hanley, she's 90. She emigrated from Ukraine. She and her daughter have written a best-selling book together called Miracles on My Doorstep, Immigrating to America, Faith Finds Freedom. Linda Kay, her daughter, and Lorraine Snyder-Hanley, the authors, are joining us now. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, gosh, I'm thrilled to have both of you. I think this is amazing, and I'm glad we found you. And Lorraine, let's start with you. Now, listeners, remember, Lorraine is the mom. She's 90, and she immigrated from Ukraine. Lorraine, just share some thoughts as you're watching on TV, seeing what's happening. Tell us if you still have family that's over there. What goes through your mind when you watch the events unfold?
Well, it's very sad when I watch. The people there are fighting so hard to keep the freedom they have. They don't want to go back into tyranny. What was happening years ago? They were under the pogroms. They were being persecuted, massacred for having any belief at all. The main problem with Ukraine today is they have waited probably too long. But we have to give them so much credit for hanging on to what they know is free, and freedom to express their views, to buy a car, to go to the store, to have total freedom to do what they want to do.
Yeah. Lorraine and Linda, this is Paul. Hopefully you can hear
Hi,
me
Paul.
Okay, and I'm thrilled
Paul.
That you get... Hello. Welcome.
Thank you.
I was just going to ask Lorraine. I want to ask both of you, talk to us a little bit. Is it a love-hate relationship with Russia? because many Ukrainians have friends, family in Russia and vice versa. So it's sort of, tell us a little bit about that dynamic. And it strikes me that.
Well, I think that we have to remember that Ukraine was under Russia's rule for many, many, many years when it was USSR. And when the Stalin reign came, and then, of course, after that, the communism, prior to that, many people were afraid, extremely afraid for what little bit of freedom they did have left, which wasn't much. They were under serfdom, peasants. I'm going to let Linda take over from here.
Okay, thanks, Mom. Yeah. I think that to your question and to the point is you can't hate your own, can you?
That's so true.
No.
It's hard.
And you really can't because, you know, as Mom was just talking about it, they're intertwined with each other. You have many generations of people that were under the rule of USSR. Mm-hmm. It was called Russia. Mm-hmm. And the ability to become statehood then is not lost on me either because, you know, today as we fight for many freedoms that we take for granted, we only need to look that it's not too far from being able to be taken by force or by rule. And I think that, as I was saying to Mom earlier, my heart goes out to the families that have lost people already, that this is a resilient people. We were looking at some footage earlier about the women that were getting into vehicles to go to war, women in tennis shoes and regular clothes, like they were just going to the store or going out for a jog with rifles. And I said to Mom, I don't know that I could do that. And Mom was like, oh, yeah, you could, and you would. You're Ukrainian. You're of good stock. But you don't understand how you will be tested until you're in the middle of it.
Well, I do remember my father speaking so harshly of the freedoms. There were none. Back when they were there, my parents were there, they were pushed under a law that the government, this was under the czar, you can have 40 acres, but you have to work for us 11 and a half hours a day to pay for that. And it might take you 40 years, and it probably would, because that 11 and a half hours belonged to them. And then they wanted half of the profits of anything that was grown on that land. That's not a very good way of life. So when my parents were able to get out of there and give me a chance to be a free American, I am going to stand strong with Ukraine. Thank you, Ukraine, for standing up for what you want and what you need. This is not a love-hate relationship. It's a survival relationship. Survival to keep doing what they want to do.
Lorraine, share with us when and how your family immigrated to the United States.
I'm going to let Linda take this one.
Got it.
Well, they started their migration during, as she mentioned, during the Bolshevik revolution and the beginning of Stalinism, which then became communism. So that would be the late 1895s. The rest of the family came some years later, but before World War II. And we've lost touch with, of course, with many people. And as I watched the news of the Ukrainian crying as he put his children on the train, I'm certain that my own family went through that same struggle, that they knew they would never see them again. And in this instance, we hope and pray that this man will see his children again. But as he put them on the train, I couldn't help but feel the same thing, far from the home I love.
Well, I think also we have to remember that it was a struggle for monetarily, the financial, it was a strain for them to even try to get into America. They pooled their money and they helped others. This was not just a singular family. This was many people helping each other, and families helping families is what I'm saying. They helped each other try to get into and to immigrate into America. They have got their pass to America through ships, came into the ports of Ellis Island, became naturalized citizens right away, first thing they taught is we don't follow the ways of the old world. We follow the new world. We're going to teach our children English. We are going to accept what America has to give, democracy. We cannot bring our old ways into this new country. We have such freedom here. Freedom, freedom is what their main mantra was.
Well, they brought old ways, Mom. You know, they brought culture. Mm-hmm. They brought the culture, the love of music and the love of food and fellowships and hard work and ethics. So, you know, they did bring much freedom.
Yeah, but they didn't bring their political ideas into America. They accepted what America gave them.
Yes, they brought the beauty of the Ukrainian culture, Linda, and we definitely appreciate that, and we are grateful for it. We only have maybe 45 seconds left, but can you both share with me what is your wish for Americans to know about Ukraine or the Ukrainians that are there today? What's your message?
My message, Mom, you want to go first? No, go ahead. My message is that the Ukrainian are strong and resilient people, and as Mom said, they might have waited a bit long to get into the EU or NATO, but certainly not without trying, and the effort that they're making now on a worldwide stage, my heart goes out to them, and my prayers are with their family that there is a ceasefire that happens immediately.
And my message is come together, unite in thought and prayer, and pray for solidarity for Ukraine.
Linda Kay and Lorraine Snyder Hanley, co-authors of Miracles on My Doorstep, Immigrating to America, Faith Finds Freedom. I know you two ladies are working on another book. We will look for it and anxiously await it. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today and sharing your Ukrainian experience.
Well, thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Georgiana.
You got it. Yeah, well, what a beautiful relationship, too, between mother and daughter. That's so lovely, and their shared heritage. And I can only imagine, you know, what goes through their minds as they watch their homeland suffering as they're watching this. When we return, Ken Edelman. Ken Edelman was the deputy U.S. ambassador to the United Nations under Ronald Reagan during Ronald Reagan's talks with Mikhail Gorbachev. We are going to talk with Ken. What should the UN be doing? What would his advice to be to world leaders as he once watched them negotiate? What would he tell them now? That's next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Once upon a time, world leaders, including the president or the leader of the free world at the time, it was President Ronald Reagan from the United States, came together and made agreements. Then President Ronald Reagan in 1987 met with Soviet General Secretary Mikhail Gorbachev, signing the Arms Control Agreement, banning the use of immediate range nuclear missiles. That was the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Reduction Treaty. It happened in 1987. Someone who had a front row seat to that is our next guest. Kenneth Edelman was the deputy U.S. ambassador to the United Nations for 2.5 years, working with Jean Kirkpatrick. He also served as director of the U.S. Arms Control and Disarmament Agency for nearly 5 years during the Reagan administration. He was an advisor to the president during the summits between President Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev. He is joining us on the line now. Ken, we are so grateful to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to talk to you, Jordana, and it's really nice that Minneapolis is so balmy these days with the 42 degrees.
That's right.
I'm glad about that.
You've been here, so you know that it gets cold. So, yes, we're grateful.
It really gets cold.
We'll take what we can get.
Yes.
So, Ken, before we get into the nuts and bolts of Reagan at Reykjavik and what you witnessed as the U.N. ambassador to the U.S. ambassador to the U.N., excuse me, just kind of ballpark it for me what you're seeing when you watch what is happening, the Soviet invasion of Ukraine on the screen, on your television screen in your home. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that it's a new era, that the kind of world that Reagan and Gorbachev had created, and both men were great men of history, has now ended. That Vladimir Putin does things that, you know, are irrational, and that it goes back to the whole idea that history is made by individuals. You know, in Colorado, our home, we have all the collection of the Time Magazine Person of the Year since 1927, starting with Lindbergh and going till just last December. And the whole idea of the Time Magazine, which was started in 1923, is that they put people on the cover, and for the Person of the Year, one person on the cover, because people really do shape history. And Reagan and Gorbachev certainly did that in 1986, and Putin does that right now.
Hey, Ken, this is Paul. I hope you can hear me okay.
I can hear you great,
welcome to
Paul.
The show.
Yep.
Great to have you here. Hey, We don't want to get into a shooting war between Russia and NATO and the United States, but these economic sanctions are on a whole nother level. I mean, one analyst said on a scale of 1 to 10, it's a 10, and it could literally bring down the Russian economy. I'm just curious, do you think this is going to change behavior on the part of Putin?
It's certainly going to make him very uncomfortable, okay? It's not going to change the near-term behavior because he's very invested in this policy. But what it can change, Paul, is that people around Putin and supporting Putin begin to look at each other, you know, when they go off away from his presence, and look at each other and say, what happened here? I mean, you know, what got into him? Well, where did this go wrong? Because it really does make no sense. Thucydides, you know, writing about history and looking at how wars started many years ago, said that there are three real things that prompt a country into war. Excuse me. And it was fear and interest and honor. Okay? There's nothing to fear about Ukraine if you're a Russian leader. They're not going to attack. They're not going to do anything. In terms of the interest, you know, this is, you're not going to get anything by going to war in Ukraine that you couldn't get by just trading and peaceful. In fact, as you say, Paul, the sanctions, you're going to lose a lot. But you do have honor, and honor has been discounted in history as important. And what honor means is that Vladimir Putin felt that at the end of the Cold War, 1990-1991, when the Soviet Empire fell, when the Soviet Union fell, that the honor of the Russian people and people like him, who was a KGB agent, was very much injured. And he was resentful and has been resentful ever since.
Ken, you are somebody that was advising Reagan, that was there when a deal was made with Mikhail Gorbachev. If you were with Volodymyr Zelensky and President Putin, what would your advice be?
Well, I think Zelensky is doing the most important thing he could do, and that is staying in Kiev. And that's a fantastic thing. And calling on his country to rebel, calling on his country to defend itself, calling on his country to be proud of Ukrainians. You know, during World War II, you know, when England was bombed night after night with the Blitz, the King of England, George VI, who was Elizabeth's father, did the most important thing he could do, which was stay in London. A lot of the elite in England sent their kids and their wives to the countryside. Some sent them to Canada because they were safer in Canada, you know, part of the Commonwealth there. And obviously the king was the most important person besides Churchill in London. And when asked many times, let's go to safety, we have to preserve you, he said, I'm staying in London, okay? And my family is staying in London. And Zerinsky is, I think, just amazing where he says, I'm going to be here. Now, the chances are that the Russian troops will overwhelm Ukraine. They have, you know, vast times the number of resources. Chances are it will be a lot more costly than Putin ever suspected. Chances are Zelensky may be killed or certainly captured. But, you know, as a symbol of the country, that's a great symbol.
Hey, Ken, do we have to worry about Putin waving around the nuclear sword? I mean, he put nuclear forces on a higher state of readiness. Is this all part of the plan here to get us cowering in the corner and not acting on our convictions?
I don't know that, Paul. I don't know that there's a plan to start with. This all seems so irrational that there's really no plan as we present what's happening. Here's somebody who's lashing out for resentment that he's harbored for these 30 years and doing an ultimate scare of the West. I don't believe that there's any likelihood of a nuclear engagement. I think that President Biden is quite right not to jack up the alert status of U.S. nuclear forces and just say, you know, this is another or one of Putin's really big bluffs.
Ken, as a former ambassador to the U.N., what would you want to see the U.N. do? And what would you advise Biden to do if he's not already doing it?
I would want the U.N. to have a lot more fuss about what's happening in Ukraine. It took them days to have an emergency meeting of the General Assembly. I think it would have been good the day after, say Thursday or Friday. I think the Security Council, which now ironically has as its president the Russian ambassador, voting an emergency meeting, and just a lot of speeches, a lot of decrying, because really one of the big principles, and this has been true since at least 1815, that one of the big principles of international relations is that you don't invade your neighbor, okay? You don't take over your neighbor. Even though your neighbor's weak, that there's an assumption that a nation state will stay a nation state. That was the principle in 1990 of the Gulf War, where George Bush had this large coalition, and including lots of Arab countries and Israel, and because simply they didn't want to stop this principle of keeping the borders sanctum and make them a part of the international process that you're not going to take over neighboring countries. And so I think that Putin is, his explanations for these wars make no sense at all. He says he wants to go into Ukraine, or is in Ukraine, to denazify the country. It's very strange when the president is Jewish, when the president lost relatives in the Holocaust. How much nazification is there? Like none. That has to be denazified. It all makes no sense.
Ken Edelman, we will call on you again, sir. This was very enlightening, and we so appreciate your insights.
Well, I appreciate your questions, and I appreciate the balmy weather of Minneapolis.
Maybe next time we can talk Shakespeare, because those that don't know Ken know he's an expert on Shakespeare. Yes.
I'll put on a hat, a little costume.
Thank you so much, Ken. We appreciate the time.
Very good.
You got it. Former U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Kenneth Edelman. When we get back, we will lighten things up. Paul has a funny story. I don't want to spoil it. That's up next. Listen all week long between now and 6 p.m. for your chance to win tickets to see Rod Stewart and Cheap Trick at the XL Energy Center. It's Friday, July 8th. If you're the 10th caller, when you hear a Rod Stewart bumper song, that's what you're listening for, a Rod Stewart bumper song, you are going to score a couple of seats to the show. And then you qualify for the grand prize. prize. That's dinner at Flint and Kindle with, get this, it's a pretty good prize because Handsome Husband and I are going to be joining you for that dinner and the concert. So we're going to go to dinner with you. We're going to go to the show with you. And then you get a one-night stay at the St. Paul Hotel after the concert. And no, we are not staying with you at the hotel for the stay. We are going home. You do you. You do your thing. That's not included. That would be illegal. But your chance to win is coming up. So listen for the Rod Stewart bumper song. That's a fun prize, right, Paul?
It is a fun prize.
A fun prize,
yeah.
Right? We're going to party with me and Handsome Husband. We're going to see Rod Stewart.
Good for you. Good for you. I'm glad you're going.
Yeah, it'll be fun. You get to the next show, my friend. Unless it's Bon Jovi, then I get that one too.
Yeah, with the Beastie Boys or
okay,
Weird Al Yankovic. Yeah. So I don't know if we have time. We have less than, what do we have, 45 seconds?
Sorry about that.
I want to talk about the Pee in the Woods Index. How many times in the last year, Jordana, and DJ, have you peed in the woods?
Oh, boy. I'm not answering. Because it's been zero.
I got to get my calculator out and do some math.
I would imagine it's a big number for you. For me, it's somewhere between 6 and 12. When I'm up at the cabin, frequently I will, you know, be one with nature. And the reason, and we'll continue this maybe after the break.
Let me give the text line, 651-461-9226. Text line, how many times have you peed in the woods?
Yeah, for me, it's about 6 to 12. DJs, probably dozens, right? Scores? Hundreds? Yeah.
Again, a calculator, I'll figure it out and let you know.
All right. And a reason why this is critically important after the break. Stay tuned.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.